This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 71, how to use your portable flash. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 71st Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to do a podcast on learning how to use portable flash. It's a monster topic, but I'm going to try and do my best and give people some useful tips. This podcast is actually courtesy of a suggestion from Jabber, a bulletin board member. Always my pleasure to help those that have questions, and flash is a big monster topic, and I'm glad to start covering it. Before we get into it, as always, I'd like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 70, where we talked about achieving sharpness. And I'd like to thank Jack Label, Kent Wilson, and Susan for their comments. Always greatly appreciated. And commenting directly on the blog, photography.ca/blog, is our preferred way to get comments if you choose to leave them. And we encourage you to leave them. As always, I'd love to know if you like the podcast. Then, of course, if you have any additional questions and or comments that I may not have covered. I should also say that some of the topics that I'm going to cover in today's podcast, some of them were already covered in previous podcasts. In particular, Studio Light for Beginners, podcast number 33, and Flash Sync Speeds, podcast number 47. I'm going to be touching on a couple of those elements in this podcast, but you may want to refer to those other podcasts at the end if you're confused about either of those things. And of course, I'll put links in the show notes. So as mentioned, today's podcast suggestion comes courtesy of Jabber, a bulletin board member from Brazil, and he writes, "Hey Marco, as you may have seen in my recent post about external flash, I'm somewhat at sea about how to get the most out of my new Canon 430 EX2. Might this make for a good podcast topic?" Indeed it is. I think it makes a great topic. And I'm not going to talk particularly about this model of flash, but I will be talking about flash in general, and I'll be concentrating more on dedicated flashes, which is what yours is, and I'll describe all this stuff in a second. So as mentioned, flash is a monster topic, and it scares off a lot of people. And rightfully so, actually. Not that it should scare you, but there is a little bit to know about flash. It's not as simple as just, you know, putting it on your camera and taking a picture and expecting to get the best results every time. You have to know a little bit how to use the flash, and that's the goal of this podcast. So first off, when we're talking about, you know, portable flashes, we're talking about the portable external flashes, the ones that attach to your camera's hot shoe. Although a lot of the principles will work for a built-in flash on your digital SLR, this podcast really is dedicated to those external flashes that you put on top of your camera. And just to mention about the portable flash that comes with the camera, you know, it's good for emergencies, it's good for souvenir shots, it's good when you have nothing better, but because it's so small, it puts out only a very limited amount of light, and it won't necessarily be able to cover all f-stops. So, you know, the smaller aperture you're going to use, the more light needs to come from that flash in order to properly expose the photo. And these small flashes are really not the best for them. You can't bounce them. Like I said, they're good for emergencies. And a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to apply to that built-in flash, but we are really focusing on external portable flashes that fit into your hot shoe. So first off, I want to talk about dedicated and non-dedicated flashes. So in terms of the model that Jabber inquired about, the Canon 430 EX2, that's a dedicated flash. So it's a Canon flash made for a Canon camera, and the circuitry in the flash works seamlessly with the circuitry in the camera. It's made for that camera. You don't necessarily have to get a Canon flash for a Canon camera. There are third-party flashes available that are dedicated, and using those dedicated flashes has a lot of advantages. So as I mentioned, this type of dedicated flash communicates directly with the camera, and these types of dedicated flashes use TTL metering, or through-the-lens metering. So basically, the camera decides when enough flash has hit the sensor or the film of your camera for proper exposure, and then it shuts it off. This is much easier to use and very much recommended for like on-camera direct type of flash. As people likely already know, on-camera flash is direct, harsh light. So when I use a portable flash attached to my camera, I'm often bouncing that light. Because the light unbounced is so harsh, if I bounce the light, it softens the light quite a bit. Another bonus is that often these portable flashes have these catch light cards. So if I'm outside and there's nothing to bounce the flash into, let's say, I very often will take out this white card and have the flash kind of shoot a little bit against that card, and then it lights my subject in a softer way than a direct full-on flash. Now, because the metering is through the lens, the camera is able to provide a really good exposure. Sometimes you need to modify it slightly, but it generally offers a really good exposure. And when the flash hits the subject, it bounces off the subject into the lens, through the lens of the camera, onto the sensor, then bounces around a little more, and then you get a good exposure. And that's basically how it works. As long as you're in the range of the flash, meaning the flash, you know, it can't light, you know, miles and miles. It can light, you know, a certain distance, 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, 100 feet. But after that, it's not going to do much. So as long as you're in that range, your subject is in the range where the flash can hit it, everything will be fine and your photograph should be properly exposed. Another beautiful thing is that you can change apertures on the fly with a dedicated flash. So you're shooting at, you know, f4, and you think, you know what, I'd really like some more depth of field. So you stop down to f11, f16. Your flash is going to compensate for this automatically without you having to go on the flash and make adjustments. So it's just a humongous advantage. It's much more easy to use. Non-dedicated flashes, they have their place, and I'll talk about that a bit later, but they work differently. Basically, there's a sensor on the flash itself. So when the flash emits its light, it hits the subject, it doesn't bounce going through the lens of the camera, it hits the sensor on the flash, and then the flash shuts off. So it does not communicate directly with the camera. And it's not good for bouncing either. You can't bounce that flash because the camera sensor won't read it. And, you know, depending on how the bounce is, it may not hit the sensor properly. So really not recommended for on-camera flash, in my opinion. One advantage of these non-dedicated flashes is that they are considerably cheaper. You can often pick them up for, you know, anywhere between $100 and $150 bucks. Whereas a dedicated flash is likely to cost you in the 500 plus range. That said, every serious photographer, in my opinion, should have a dedicated flash. And then for off-camera flash, we could talk about non-dedicated flashes, but for on-your-camera shooting, it should be a dedicated flash. And here's where we're going to get into a bit of the basics and just a wee bit of theory. So every time you use your flash, the exposure on your camera is actually a mix of the existing light, the ambient light, and the light from the flash. Anyone that has a bit of experience using flash is keenly aware of this fact, and their goal is to balance the ambient light and the flash to achieve their vision of the shot. Because at the end of the day, if you're outside and you're not using the flash, so you have light from the sun, that is your primary source of lighting. And, you know, if you add, you know, a person into that scene and you want to light them differently than the background, that's why you're using flash and you have to balance that exposure. Another key tip, during the exposure, the aperture or the hole controls how much light eventually hits the film or sensor. And then the shutter speed controls how long the sensor records the light. And we're talking in seconds here. So either a fraction of a second or 1 second or 10 seconds, etc. But the aperture controls how much light, and the shutter speed controls how long that light is hitting the sensor. Another key point, the shutter speed controls only the ambient light, while the flash controls the subject being lit. So for instance, an example, and I'm going to use this throughout the show, a forest or a beach. So if you are shooting a beach scene, and let's say you put a person or an object into that beach scene, before that person or object gets into the scene, if there's enough light, you can shoot that scene without flash. And you should shoot it without flash because your flash is certainly not strong enough to light a beach. You're going to need sunlight or some type of light to light that beach. So again, the man in front of the beach is going to be lit by the flash, and the beach itself is going to be lit by ambient light. So again, it's this combination of two exposures in one. And we're going to talk about controlling those exposures as we continue. Same technique, you want to focus the scene on one flower in a field of flowers, you're going to use the flash to light the primary flower, and then sunlight or another light, source of light, is going to light the field of flowers. This is so important to remember. And why does the shutter speed control the background and not the foreground? Why doesn't it play into the foreground subject? So it's basically like this. The burst of a flash is really, really, really fast. And it's just simply going to be faster than your shutter speed. Your shutter speed, let's say 1/200th of a second, that'll record the beach if, you know, the aperture corresponds to that, etc. Let's say it's, you know, f8 at 1/200th of a second. Well, if you put a man in front of that scene and, you know, you want the man to be brighter than the beach, you're going to use your flash to light that subject. And the burst of light from that flash is going to be so much friggin' faster than 1/200th of a second that it's not going to add any extra exposure to the background. So the flash controls the foreground and the shutter speed controls the ambient light or the background, generally. You know, and depending on what type of flash you have, you know, the burst of light is going to be at about 1/5,000th of a second, 1/10,000th of a second, much, much, much faster than 1/200th of a second, of course. Now, in terms of the other things that we normally use to control exposure, the aperture and the ISO, those will indeed affect the output of the flash. So as you change the aperture in your camera from f4 to f whatever, the flash is being affected by that, and it's going to output different quantities of light based on what aperture you choose. In a similar fashion, if you change the ISO, the flash knows this, and it's going to put out more or less flash depending on what you're choosing, but not the shutter speed. The shutter speed, again, is only controlling the background light. And because this is somewhat confusing, let's use another example. Let's say we have a man in a forest, and we take the man out of the forest, and we use our camera meter or we use a light meter, and let's just say the exposure is f4 at 1/60th of a second, and let's just say we're using ISO 800. Now, if you put the man into that scene, the exposure is still going to be f4 at 1/60th of a second. Let's say you want the man to be a little bit brighter than the forest. If you change the aperture, so you're changing the aperture for both the man and the background. So for instance, f4 at 1/60, if we go to f2.8 at 1/60, that lets in more light on the man and on the background. So your background may be too overexposed for you, and the man may be correctly exposed. This is why you want to play with the shutter speed, because the shutter speed will control the background and the flash will control the foreground. So if you're happy with that exposure of the background, f4 at 1/60th, no problem. If you want to make that background brighter or darker, you can go to 1/125th of a second, and that'll make that background darker. And if you want to go lighter, you could change it to, let's say, 1/30th of a second, and that will make the background go lighter. The man will look exactly the same, because again, the shutter speed will not affect the man. It'll only affect the background because the burst of flash is too fast. Now, if you want the man to be brighter, This is the beautiful thing about TTL metering. And TTL is the old form of metering where flash actually hit film. Nowadays, they're using ETTL or ITTL. It's the same principle, but because the light ultimately is not hitting a piece of film, which detects the exposure, it's actually hitting a sensor, it bounces around a little more and does some different calculations, but essentially it's the same principle. Anywho, like we said, if you want more light on that man, all you have to do is press the plus button on the back of your flash, and it will add more light to the man. And if you want to make the man really, really, really dark, you would just press the minus button on the flash. And what the flash is doing then is it's either increasing its output or decreasing its output based on the ambient light exposure. Hope that makes sense, but that's really what it's doing. And it's a beautiful thing, because in this way, you can control the man with the flash, the foreground, and you can control the background with the shutter speed. Let's just choose another example. Let's say the man is on the beach at high noon. Let's say the exposure without the flash is f16 at 1/125th of a second. If we want to make the beach darker, all we have to do is go f16th at 1/250th of a second. If we want to make the beach lighter, all we have to do is go f16 at 1/60th of a second. Once we put the man in the foreground, then again, we have full control, because as we just mentioned, we can make that man either brighter or darker depending on the settings on our flash. So in this case, the exposure is f16 at 1 over 125. If we want to make that man really, really bright, let's say, you know, the light is coming from behind and otherwise he would be in silhouette, all we have to do is press the plus button on the flash and it adds exposure to the man alone. And that way he stands out. If you want him to stand out a little bit, maybe go plus one. And we're talking stops of light. So it's plus one stop. If you want him really, really bright, maybe go plus two. It's really up to you and how you see the vision. Now, there's two ways to actually compensate for this flash, and some people get confused. On many DSLRs, you can use flash exposure compensation, which is really what you're doing by pressing the plus or minus button on the flash. In a similar fashion, there's often a button on the camera's body that does the exact same thing. Whether you add one stop of extra light on the camera body or the flash, you're going to get the same thing. Basically, if you do it on the camera body, it's just telling the flash to output more light. And then if you do it on the flash, you're just telling the flash directly to output more light. They both work the same, no issue. Now, a good question to ask yourself when you're using flash is, do you want the flash on camera to be your main light or a fill light? So the stronger light source is going to be your main light. So whatever the exposure is, if you're using minus on your flash, you're in TTL mode, and you're just setting your flash to output less light than the ambient light reading that your camera is giving you, so at that point, your flash is a fill flash. It's filling the shadows caused by the primary light source, which is likely the sun. On the other hand, and this gets into really creative flash control, you can always use your flash as the main light source. Just make sure that the flash is more than the ambient exposure reading, and then your flash is your main light source. Very often when your flash is on your camera, you're going to use it as fill, very often, especially in the day. And very often when you take your flash off camera, that's going to be your main light, and you're going to create your lighting pattern with the flash off camera, and then, you know, the sunlight or whatever ambient light there is going to act as your fill. When would you want to use your flash on camera as the main light? Very often you're going to want to do this at night. Simply stated, you know, at night there's no sun, right? So it's dark. So in that case, you're going to need a main light source, and on-camera flash will be your main. And typical situations where this is going to occur is, let's say, I don't know, you're shooting a wedding or a party at night, the lighting is dim. If you weren't going to use flash, you would record the scene and it would be really, really, really low light. It might be, you know, F2 or F4 at, I don't know, an eighth of a second, a quarter of a second. So people move during that exposure. That's a bad setting to capture people. But if you dial in whatever exposure you want on your camera, as long as you're in the range of what your flash can handle, your flash will shoot out the right quantity of light to match the exposure that you dial in. So let's say you're shooting at F4 at a 60th at a party. Every time you click the shutter, your flash is outputting F4 at a 60. And it's a great thing to do because you don't want to be fiddling with settings during an event. You just want to shoot and you want to make sure the exposure is good. So if you dial in the amount of flash that you want based on your aperture normally, the flash will give you what you want. Now, as mentioned, another time you may well want to use your flash as the main light source is when you take it off camera. And this can be done for studio lighting in a studio, or it can be done outside at any time. You just put your flash on a stand and you dial in power that is more powerful than the sun, and it's your main light. You can also use multiple flash heads, and you're likely going to want to use a manual setting for this as well. So let's say, you know, it's really, really cloudy and the light sucks outside and you want to create some type of effect and you're not happy with, you know, with the lighting pattern from this cloudy day. Well, if you use a couple of heads, let's say it's a statue, just to change it up a bit, and you want to light the statue and you want the background to be really, really light. So you may take one flash and use that as your main flash. You might put it at a 45 degree angle, and that flash has a certain value. If you use a second flash as a fill, let's say behind the camera, that's its fill. And if you use another flash behind the statue to light, let's say, some trees behind the statue, you're using three flashes there. One of the flashes is the main light, and the other flash is creating fill. And as long as you know the values that the flash is outputting, you are going to get a nice exposure. And if your exposure isn't nice, it's very easy to tweak. If your main subject is too dark, add some output to the flash lighting the main subject. If the fill is not bright enough, add some output to the fill light. If the background is too bright, reduce the output of the flash lighting the background. So these are times when you may well want to use manual flash, and for these types of things, non-dedicated flash is really quite good. Because again, you're not working really, really quickly. You just need the flash to output consistently the right amount of light, so it doesn't need to communicate as intricately as when it's on the camera directly. I hope this is making sense, and if it's not, feel free to shoot me loads and loads of questions, and I'll clarify in the comments, but I hope it's making a modicum of sense. Now that we're talking about off-camera flash a little bit, so there's something again that we have to talk about, and this is syncing your flash. So once the flash is off the camera, you need a way to actually get it to communicate with the camera, and there's a bunch of ways to do this, and I did a podcast on this directly at number 33 as mentioned, and just to repeat really quickly, you can use a sync wire, and then you have a wire running from the camera to the flash. Or you can use a trigger like the Pocket Wizard. So you attach something to the hot shoe of the flash, and then you attach something to the flash itself, and without any wires whatsoever, just like magic, when you click your shutter, the flash fires. That is going to be the preferred way that pros are going to shoot. And then a really cheap way is just using a peanut slave. It's just a little gadget, I don't know, maybe an inch by an inch, something like that, by half an inch, something like that, really, really small. Anyway, that this $30 or $40 or $50 gadget sees the light coming from another flash. So if you use a peanut slave, so your fill light is going to be the portable flash attached on your camera. Once the main light sees the fill light flash from your portable flash on camera, it's also going to flash, and it does this all at the speed of light. So, you know, if you're on a tight budget, use a peanut slave. And if you want really, really great convenience, spend a few hundred bucks each, unfortunately, on a Pocket Wizard. And I know there are other brands as well, but Pocket Wizards are the ones that I'm most familiar with. And they're incredibly, incredibly reliable. Another thing I wanted to mention, again, is going to be the sync speed. So there is a maximum shutter speed with which you can use your flash on your camera. If you exceed that speed, you're going to get black lines, because basically what's happening is the shutter is closing before the flash is finished firing if you use a speed that's too fast. And typical sync speeds are going to be 1/250th of a second. That's going to be a typical flash sync speed. So if you go above that speed, 1 over 320, 1 over 400, 1 over 500, etc., you may well notice a black line on your camera, and that's why it's happening. It's because it's unsynced. What some of the higher end flashes have is that they do have a high speed feature, which allow you to shoot at any f-stop, and it basically tricks the flash into shooting various small beams or pulses of light throughout the exposure. So if you have that feature, you can defeat the sync speed law, but only when the flash is on the camera. If the flash is triggered through a Pocket Wizard or triggered through a sync cord, then you're back to the camera's default sync speed, which is another reason why dedicated flashes are so useful, because so many of them have that feature. I think we covered quite a bit today, and I guess I just want to end with also that you want to be reading your manual. Flash is a complex thing. You want to sit with your camera and your flash together and your manual, and you want to do a few tests. You want to see why things work, and you want to understand why they work. And if you do it while reading your camera manual, you're going to find the experience invaluable, as opposed to just trying it when you may need to use it and not fully understanding it. You're going to be more under pressure. You're not going to understand necessarily why it's too dark or too light. So I highly recommend that you totally read the manual. And when you do, you'll find some other like fun things as well. You know, there's strobe effects whereby, you know, it'll shoot a bunch of bursts of light. And I don't know, let's say you're shooting a basketball. So it'll almost take like a freeze frame shot. And you'll see almost like ghosting effects of the ball being tossed into the basket. Lots of fun. There's also a rear curtain sync, which is a different way the shutter moves. Instead of the normal way it moves, it's going to move in a different way. And that also has different effects that I'll get into in another podcast. But basically, by reading your manual, it'll really inform you about how your particular flash is going to work with your particular camera. And then if concepts are still difficult to follow, then just post questions and those of us with experience will be more than happy to help you out. I think that's going to do it for me for the actual topic at hand. I'd like to thank people for submitting their assignments. We have a water theme as the assignment of the month. I'm going to put a link in the show notes as well. And we're getting some pretty creative submissions for that. So, there's still a couple of days left, hopefully in the month when I put this out, and people can slap in their photos last minute if they want to contribute. If you're lurking on the forum, I highly recommend that you join. We're a friendly bunch. More and more people are joining, and they're finding that we live up to our word, that we are a friendly bunch, and we do try to critique and help people constructively to improve their photography. If you like this podcast and want to get it automatically, the best way to do so is to subscribe. Go to photography.ca/blog, click the link, subscribe in iTunes or subscribe in Google Reader, and then every time when you open up one of those applications, our podcast will load automatically if we've put one out. Love comments and suggestions. Prefer directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog, but you can send me anything you like, photography.ca@gmail.com. You can also post in our podcast forum as well anything that you'd like to mention about particular episodes or questions or suggestions for future topics. And that's going to do it for me today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Get out there. Summer, it's still pretty good. It's on its way out, but it's still pretty good. So let's take those pre-fall shots before the fall explosion happens. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. And as always, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now.